We go to doctors to perform our health checks. Now we have to do the health check of the business. Just ask the question to your team that in case we are attacked, what we need to recover, who is responsible, how will we recover, where we will recover, do we have the right technology in place? When you ask those questions after your health check is done, only then you'll be able to understand your current state of business and are you cyber ready or cyber resilient or not.
Hey everybody, I'm Brad Bussey, Chief Information Security Officer here at E360. Thank you for joining me for the State of Enterprise IT Security Edition. This is the show that makes IT security approachable and actionable for technology leaders. I'm very happy to bring you a special guest this week, Field CTO Sharik Akul of Zerto and HPE. You may not know this, but you are my very first guest. So if you wouldn't mind, tell our listeners a little bit more about you and about Zerto.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brad. I'm glad to be here. And thank you. Thanks a lot for having me. So I'll start with my background. So my name is Sharik Akul. I'm Global Field CTO with Zerto, which is an HPE company. So I joined this company just over 2 years ago. And before joining HPE and Zerto, I was with Dell. I spent just over 5 years there with Dell and EMC. I was part of their data protection division, and then I was covering their global alliances for the complete enterprise portfolio. Before joining Dell, I was with IBM. I spent a few years there working in the software-defined storage. And before that, I was with Dell, and before that, I spent a few years as a hands-on resource in a data center. So just over 20 plus years in the field. That's about me.
Awesome.
And if we talk about Zerto, which is now acquired by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise back in 2021. Zerto came into being back in 2009, and it was a software that provides customers with disaster recovery, quick failover failbacks, data mobility across different platforms, and ransomware resilience. And all of this was built on the logics of continuous data protection. So always on data protection that provides customer with these three major use cases.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show. And I wanted to talk a little bit about cyber resiliency. So I know we're going to get into the cyber resiliency vault, but I think for some of our listeners, maybe just giving them an overview of what is cyber resiliency and what is the problem it solves. So I figure I'll give them just a quick, you know, kind of high level, and then we can get a little bit more into the vault side of it. So as far as cyber resiliency, we're referring to an organization's ability to continue to operate effectively, really in the face of cyber threats and attacks. And it encompasses what we would consider a comprehensive strategy. And that strategy includes things like prevention, detection, response, and recovery. And these are processes that are designed to protect as well as sustain the organization. And really, it's focused on what I would say critical operations. And really, the main problem that cyber resiliency solves is the vulnerability of organizations to disruptions that are caused by things like cyber attacks, which can result in, we'll say, significant operational, financial, as well as reputational damage. And by implementing, we'll say, robust cyber resiliency measures, organizations can minimize the impact of attacks, ensure the continuity of essential services, and this is, I think, the important one, quickly restore full functionality. And that's really just maintaining the trust that the business has put in us as cyber defenders and really safeguarding assets in what I think Sharik and I would consider an increasingly hostile digital landscape. So I think that sets the stage for like cyber resiliency, really the problem. And I think it would be useful now, Sharik, if I go into like, what is a cyber resiliency vault and what problem does it solve? And then I think what would be good is just getting an idea of how does Zerto look at this whole problem, and what does that landscape look like to you? And let's see if we match up on what I'm saying. Does that sound good?
Yep, that sounds pretty good. And you know what? The way you describe cyber resilience is exactly what cyber resilience is. Let's
Good.
just call it, it is an outcome. It is an outcome. It's not a product, it is an outcome. And to achieve that outcome, we have to have different policies in place, right people in place, right education in place, and right products in place. Only then we'll be able to achieve the resilience that you were talking about a few a minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
And when it comes to it, there are two strategies. One is the proactive one, means keeping the bad actors out. And that is like having a strong security defenses in place. So right products, right people, right policies, right education for the employees so that they are well aware of what to click, what not to click, so that we keep the bad actors out. The second phase comes in is like reactive. When if a bad actor is in and they are able to cause any damage, now, how to respond to that, how to detect it, how to recover and recover very quickly. Because recovery is the base that whole business will rely on. In case of a cyber attack, there's a downtime. Now you have to recover. Now, how quickly you can recover and how sure you are, what kind of data you are recovering back. So this is my perspective on cyber resilience approaches.
That's perfect. Yeah, and I think talking about the whole vault concept too will definitely help kind of add a little bit more to that. So essentially, like when I look at this whole piece of what we've talked about, I look at the and you can correct me if I'm off here, but I think of a cyber resiliency vault as what we'll call it secure, because that's what everybody wants to hear. A lot of times it's air-gapped storage, and it's really designed to protect critical data as well as systems. And it's against things like ransomware and other forms of malware. I think that was kind of the initial intent. And it ensures that stored data remains immutable. And that means it can't be altered, can't be deleted. And thereby, we maintain something pretty important, which is data integrity, as well as availability, even in the event of security breaches. Because we hear about this all the time where organizations have been breached, and I see them down for weeks, if not months. And what I'm starting to realize is I think a lot of them have not gotten very far into the concept of resilient systems and a resilient vault. So I think when you look at this and having a specialized vault that can address things, and it's really the crucial need for rapid recovery. And this really gives an organization a point to restore back to. And what we're trying to do is restore operations quickly, minimal disruptions, and this is following an attack. But I could almost see this as not just an attack, but if somebody makes a mistake. We call this in the industry a lot insider threat. Sometimes it's malicious, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. And next thing you know, all of those VMs that you had are gone. They're wiped. And when you ask, well, how did that happen? It comes down to somebody just didn't know what they were doing. But I think some of the things to keep in mind is that with a vault, you know, we're doing things like encrypting the data. We're isolating it from the network. We're preventing unauthorized access and tampering. And really, it fits into that broader resiliency strategy that we've talked about. And I look at this as organizations that implement a vault, really, they're enhancing their ability to withstand and quickly recover from an incident. We're really ensuring that business continuity and the protection of sensitive and critical data is there. And I think that generally, this approach was looked at for just crucial environments where like data integrity and availability are super important. So if I kind of rewind, I look at this as financial services, healthcare, government, large enterprises. But honestly, I think where we're at now is this should be business as usual for organizations of all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful description. And the basic reason that these cyber vaults came into being, like cyber attacks, and these cyber attackers, what they were doing is like they get into the network, they perform a network scan, and they identify anything that is connected, anything that is storing the data or keeping the copies of the data. And then they attack those before encrypting the production environment. So if you have a backup server sitting in there, because we have to understand, backups are good. Backups needs to be there for operational recovery. But if they are sitting on network, then they are also a target. And we have seen these attackers targeting the backup copies or replica copies before they encrypt the production environment. So because of that reason, the requirement came to have an air-gapped copy of your data so that it is, if somebody comes in and perform a network scan, they are not able to see that copy. And that copy has to be immutable. And when we talk about immutability, it has to be really immutable in a way that once it is written, nobody is able to tamper with it, including administrators. So the point that you were talking about, internal attacks. So in that case, you have to have that protection available. Once it is written, it has to be immutable, and nobody should be able to tamper with it. So we talked about isolation, we talked about immutability, but the third thing, and that is the important thing, is like integrity of the data that you are storing. What is the health of the data? How clean the data is, so that in case you are hit, you should know what is the last known good copy I can go back to start the recovery process. So these cyber vaults really provide all three or four capabilities, not only to store the data, but to check the health of the data as well as keeping it immutable.
Exactly. And I think something, if I know the listeners out there and I know those watching, they're probably going to ask the question based on what we've discussed, why do we need cyber resiliency and cyber vaults? And I think of this as kind of two pieces. One, the way we've described it, cyber resiliency focuses on the broader strategy of preparing for and responding to and recovering from a cyber attack. While the cyber resiliency vault it's a specific, and we'll call it a tactical tool that is supporting the strategy. And that's essentially by safeguarding the data. What do you think? Is that a pretty accurate assessment?
Accurate, pretty accurate. And I'll just give you an example. There are like five different pillars you already talked about: identify, protect, detect, respond, recover. So usually the first three pillars usually lies with the security teams. Identify, protect, detect is like keeping the bad actors out, is stopping the attacks even before they cause any damage. So they are doing a very good job. They have best tools in place and they are keeping the bad actors out. But if a bad actor is in, and if there is any corruption, now the question is, who owns the recovery of the data after that corruption? Is it security team or is it someone else? If it is a storage team, now the question is, do they have the right infrastructure deployed to be able to perform that kind of recovery from a cyber attack? And this is where, exactly where you need the vault to help complement your cyber resilience strategy.
I agree, because I end up seeing organizations that often point in different directions when you say, well, who's responsible for this recovery? And I think having a vault definitely starts to simplify it. And having the strategy overall is I think pretty important. So what I'd like to talk about is specifically, like, how do you do this vault concept with Zerto? So I would think of this as building a cyber resiliency vault with the Zerto technology. I'm just super interested in what that looks like and kind of the approach that you take. And then I figure what I could do is talk about how we look at this from a program perspective. And tooling is always great for supporting the program. So I think let's go tools first, and then let's talk a little bit about program.
Sure thing. So before going into the details of our solution, I want to talk about the market landscape quickly, which was there before we launched our product. So there were many cyber vault offerings out there in the market. But one thing that was common in all those solutions were based off of backup software, right? The backup software writing the data and then you are vaulting it.
Right.
And one reminder that our customers never relied on backup software to provide them with mass recovery of the data. Nothing to do with anything. It is some technology limitations were always there. They use something like a storage replication, something like Zerto, to provide them with the ability to quickly fail over, fail back, and do the mass data recovery. Because with backups, first of all, it takes a long time to recover. Plus, you only perform backup once a day. So there's a data loss window. If we talk about data loss of 24 hours plus the recovery time of a couple of weeks, that's a long time. And we saw that as a gap in the market, that all these solutions are based off of this technology. So what we did with our solution is we brought the data mover Zerto into the picture and coupled it with HPE hardware to come up with the solution where we provide cyber vaulting, not based off a backup, but based off of continuous data protection. So any point in time recovery that is getting replicated to our vault, number one. The second thing is, as we are replicating the data, now we are performing the scan of the data to identify any anomalies, any traces of the encryption. So within 3 to 5 seconds, you know that the data copy is clean or not. Right. Instead of you perform backup, wait 24 hours and then start the scan, and then you know that you have a clean copy or not. So we combined it. So this is how we move the data. As we are moving the data, we are scanning it, then we are making it immutable, but we are not leaving it there. From there on, we are creating an air gap copy of that data into our vault zone. And that is totally based off of decentralized architecture. Mm-hmm. So there is no single manager of it. If there is no single manager, there is no single point of compromise. The whole architecture is built on zero trust principles. So the data mover component does not know about the retention policy. The retention policy holder does not know about the replication policy. So there are many things that we considered. And the beauty of this architecture is that it is continuous data protection. So it is any point in time recovery for up to whatever retention duration you want.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the recovery time for petabytes of data came down from weeks or months to a couple of hours. So that's one part. The recovery, the data loss window, we brought it down from like 24 hours down to 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The recovery time, we brought it down from like 30 plus days down to 2 hours. So that's the business impact that we reduced. The third thing that people don't usually talk about, we always talk about vaulting the data, but we never talk about recovering the data.
Right.
Because if you are under cyber attack, means your production is compromised, might not be accessible. So now you have the data copy, where will you recover it? You will need a clean room. So what we did in our architecture, we combined the vaulting and clean room in one solution to be able to not only store the data, keep it safe, but also in case of attack, we will be able to recover it, perform tests, do the forensic, do the cleansing, and then move the data back to production. So that's on a high level, Brad. That's our architecture.
I love it. And honestly, when I look at this, I mean, I feel that this is in some cases the only chance that an organization would have to recover because of just how attacks are starting to ramp up. And I think, you know, tools are fantastic. But what I've noticed is after watching a lot of these recovery events of organizations that have been compromised, I found really the kind of the weakest link is the people in preparation and the ability to act when the event occurs. Like your technology is fantastic. It's there to be leveraged. But when I start talking to an organization and I just ask one simple thing, what needs to come up first? Let's say you're completely down. What does that actually look like? And I have a bunch of people staring at me and they don't know the answer to that. So what I think would be interesting is if we talk through kind of the programmatic approach and how we could then leverage Zerto in this type of scenario where we've been compromised, either systems are down, all systems are down, Active Directory has been impacted. There's some form of event that is happening. So the first thing that I ask clients is, let's try to get in front of this before it happens. That's the big thing. But first, ask yourself and your organization, today, can your business recover without major financial loss? And I would say in 80% of organizations that are asked that question, the answer is maybe. It's not a no, it's not a yes. People just aren't sure. So what we've done is we've kind of looked at this as a cyber resiliency framework. So the first thing that I would ask is if that's a maybe for your organization, consider this framework. And I'm going to just kind of rapidly go through it. First aspect is making sure you understand the mission. What is the mission of your organization, the implementation of your technology, and identify technology requirements overall. When do things need to come up? In what order? What service accounts? There's a lot of things that go into that. I make it sound kind of easy, but there's a lot of work that needs to happen. Second is revenue as well as brand equity. So this essentially supports and enables your overall business strategy. Because as we've seen with some of these cyber attacks recently, not only is it a revenue impact to the business because they're down and they're unable to provide the service that they are implementing in the first place, their brand takes a significant impact. And customers may not be as comfortable coming back and doing business with an organization that's been compromised. So asking yourself that question. Third, what are the core business functions? And aligning those with security to protect critical systems as well as data. And then I think this is where some of that vaulting technology comes into play. And fourth, there's the internal operations and administrative functions. And this is where I see a lot of organizations really struggle, because what I'm asking you to do is map technology to business functions. And that's essentially the only way you're ever going to recover from a large-scale cyber event. What do you think of that? Do you think that's pretty solid as far as a framework and approach? It's pretty high level.
That's a really, really, very strong approach. And you covered it again, you covered it very well, because you cannot achieve resilience with one thing. You have to have the right people identified. You have to have right policies in place. You have to have right products in place to be able to support that. But not only these three P's, but you also need to consider that in case you are attacked, what are the minimum viable business components that you are recovering? So it will start with identification, as you explained it very well. Identify what you want to protect. Identify the interdependencies of those components so that you are not just recovering the data, but you are recovering the complete ecosystem that is required to serve that data.
Exactly.
Right. So you have to identify that. Then when you have identified, then you move it, then you protect it using a product, but then you need to have right processes in place and right people identified that who will be able to touch that data, what should be the access mechanism, what are the policies about it, and after that, how can you perform the testing of whatever you have identified to be protected, and whoever is required to test the data and actually perform the recovery testing.
That's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. I see a lot of organizations struggle where they haven't tested and what they bring back is not what they needed to bring back. That's something that I think a lot of
because that testing will really complement when in case of a cyber attack, when you are down, you will need to go through not only like just bringing data back up, you might have to go through like data forensics first. So do you really want to have a solution in place that supports you to perform testing so that you, when you perform the testing, you'll be able to test all of your tools right there on the set of the data to perform forensic analysis, cleansing, and a rehearsal to move the data back to production. So these are the important things. So identification, protection, testing.
Totally agree. And Sherrick, something I always like to do in the podcast is I like to give a kind of a wrap up of an, I never like to use the word expert, but it comes out of my mouth often, like an expert opinion and some pro tips when it comes to the topic. So when it comes to cyber resiliency, as well as vaulting, I kind of want to give the listeners a couple of high level things to consider, because I think sometimes this can seem a little complex. So I'll start with just a couple, and then I think we can wrap it up with kind of your pro tips or overall thoughts when it comes to resiliency vault. So I think if you're looking at this today, I would start with getting a clear understanding of what your critical assets actually are. I think it's actually one of my mentors, John Kindervog, has said, it is defining your protect surface. It's not necessarily your attack surface, because that's pretty much everywhere now, but it is, start with that clear understanding of what it is that you're going to protect, which is your critical assets. I would say ensuring the vault is properly air gapped. So I liked the discussion that we had about the zero trust implementation and keeping things separate. As a cyber practitioner, I would say encrypt everything as often as possible, whether it's in transit, at rest, in a vault. Encrypt everything that you possibly can. And then I would say implement those strict access controls and adopt least privilege wherever possible. And then I would say, and this is just good cyber hygiene, you know, regularly update and patch systems. I think the one that stuck with me from this conversation is test your recovery process. And I would say stay compliant, as well as audit regularly the entire process, not just for your cyber program, but the audit / recovery process for your cyber vault.
Yeah, that's a great description again, Brad. One thing that we have learned from these cyber attacks, in almost all type of cyber attacks, there was a requirement for having a clean infrastructure in place before you can perform the recovery, because production was compromised, DR was compromised, and our customers were not able to use existing infrastructure. So you need to have a clean set of equipment available for you to perform the recovery and perform the testing. And you can, and that will actually enable you to perform the regular testing, because now you have a dedicated infrastructure that's clean. So identify it. Have a detailed incident response plan in place.
Agreed.
Because now it will not be only the security teams doing the forensic. It will be the storage team providing them with the data. It will be networking team bringing the networks back. And then all these teams have to work together. So you need to have the right incident response plan in place, that product is providing you with a copy of the data, but everything else that is serving the data has to be in place before you go back to normal. So identification, then documenting it, having this incident response plan in place. And again, I'll come back to test it.
Right.
Perform the testing. Have a testing exercise, testing rehearsal plan for your teams to like coordinate and test everything beforehand.
Couldn't agree more. I think if there's two things that I want our listeners to take away from this, it's always what's the action that they should take after listening to something like this. So we spent, 25, 30 minutes, I would say, going pretty high level on this, but there's a lot more conversation to be had. So from an organizational standpoint, what should their action be? And I would say two things. One, I would implement a cyber resiliency review. So I'm a big fan of discover and assess before you do much of anything. So I would say conduct that review, and it's really looking at current cybersecurity strategies and systems. And second, once you've done that and you have some good information that comes back from it, then it's time to adopt a cyber resiliency vault. And I think that's where you can invest and adopt vault technology. And I think Zerto is a great solution for that.
Yep. Thank you for that feedback. But you nailed it right there. We go to doctors to perform our health checks. Now we have to do the health check of the business. Just ask the question to your team that in case we are attacked, what we need to recover, who is responsible, how will we recover, where we will recover, do we have the right technology in place? When you ask those questions after your health check is done, only then you'll be able to understand your current state of business and are you cyber ready or cyber resilient or not. And from there on, we can take the discussion further. There are many technologies. It's not just HPE, it's not just Zerto. There are many technologies out there. They all have unique benefits. So I think once you identify what is your requirement, our customers should talk to all these providers of mm-hmm. these components so that they can take the discussion forward, understand what is available, and be able to make the right decision for their environment.
Excellent. All right, Sharik, I really appreciate you spending some time with us on the podcast today. And thanks again. I hope our listeners have a great rest of their day or night or whenever you're listening, and enjoy the content. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brad.